Welcome back to the Nullified Take channel here on YouTube, where we've got the TNT takes for you on Survivor South Africa. I'm joined by a good friend of the podcast, someone that I have not been able to talk to for quite a minute, Tony, a two-time Survivor South African player, an all-star player that came back to play in Return of the Outcasts and made the merge twice, which is not an easy feat at all when it comes to Survivor. Tony, welcome back to the channel.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. Nice to chat again. Yeah.
It's great to chat to you. I just wish it was under better circumstances because we're having a chat. You know, I DM'd you as soon as I heard about the news and it was official that Survivor South Africa has been dropped by the channel Mnet. And I DM'd you and I said, hey, would you want to come on and have a bit of a chat? I know you're someone that is always very passionate in the fandom. You're very, you know, you've got like an online org of Survivor that you do with Rue. And I mean, that just kind of shows you how into the fandom you are. So I knew you'd be a great person to talk to. What's the feeling like from your perspective as a previous player hearing this very sad news and someone that's so tapped into the community on that side? You know all the fans so well.
You know, Chris, I mean, the reason why I joined hosting an online game was because I just wanted to give people who might not have the opportunity to play Survivor an opportunity to play some version of the game, you know? Even now, I've started up my own little company on the side called Tribe Mates, where I do team building, where people can get to play Survivor, because I really do believe in the power of playing this game, you know? So the online thing was really just to give people an opportunity, but I was still hoping that even those people who come and play the online game still have the opportunity to play the real thing, because it is a life-changing experience. So hearing that it had been cancelled dropped from Mnet, I wasn't completely depressed or upset about it because I have full faith that Afrikaans is going to figure this out and they're going to figure out how to get people to play this game on a different channel. However, it is still a little bit scary because you don't know what the options are and when those options are going to avail themselves. So, you know, we all know that LaRue likes to say when, not if. And so I'm just hoping the when comes sooner than later because I just, yeah, it does fill me with a little bit of concern that if it goes dormant for too long, mind you, it went dormant for quite a while and then season six came.
It was like 5 years or something between season five and season six.
2014, I think it was. It's exactly. So about 4 or 5 years. And when it came back, it came back with a bang. But you almost just want to keep it going now because it was going pretty good. And I think it was really gaining traction. So, I'm just really hoping that traction can be gained quicker.
Yeah, and I think that that's one of the things that, you know, hearing LaRue talk about it on other podcasts that, you know, you want to keep the momentum because it takes time to build this fandom, especially locally within South Africa. And I think that that is such an important fandom because we know globally, and this is a shout out for those that are in South Africa that are listening to this, I've had more response from Australians signing the petition to get Survivor South Africa back on air than South Africans. Like, we as South Africans have got to do better. This is our show. Let's take control of it. Let's get behind the show and let's get it back on the air.
Well, I mean, but I was going to say all the Australians who did that and, you know, even like I've never really had the opportunity to do it before. The Australian love is just phenomenal. Even when I was on last year, like the amount of people from Australia who were messaging me directly, et cetera, was pretty cool. So thank you, Australia. Keep signing, please. In terms of South Africa, Chris, can I be honest with you? I think the lack of awareness of Survivor South Africa is maybe because of the channel it was being played on.
And I think I spoke to that. I don't know if you saw this. We did a podcast about the news with myself and Richard, who you're good friends with, and Mucky, who is my brother from another mother over in New Zealand. He's a great, great co-host as well. And we spoke about this a little bit. And I said, I feel like Mnet being on a paywall where so many people were cut out from seeing it, where if you look at the Australian Survivor show, it is on Channel 10, which is available to everybody to watch. It's the same if you look at CBS over in the US. That's available for everyone to watch. It's not behind a paywall. And we're talking about a country where there's more important issues going on than trying to pay for a subscription for Mnet to watch Survivor. So that's something that I think they're going to have to deal with. And I don't know how they deal with it moving forward, Tony, because, you know, a lot has been said about getting it again onto a channel, maybe a streaming platform, but that will still be behind some sort of a paywall if it does land there.
The paywall is a $2-$5 paywall. It's actually better. I mean, listen, I've got Mnet purely for the fact of that I want to watch. Well, I wanted to watch, let my parents watch sports, and I wanted to watch myself on Survivor. So I got it for my parents so they could watch Survivor. And it's you have to have the premium one in a way to get the best of the best. And it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. So I think that if, and then if you look at what you're paying for, like you're like, but then I've got this, but I still got my Netflix and I've got all the other things. So if it was on something that maybe people are already paying for, like a Netflix or, you know.
That's the ideal. I think it's the ideal is for it to land on they've got experience with Prime, because obviously Prime has, with Amazon, has aired it over in the UK. So Survivor South Africa was in the UK on Prime. So if they've done it for one region, maybe they can do it on other regions. And then the other really big thing that I've mentioned a few times is that Paramount Plus does not have a presence in Africa yet. So if Paramount Plus wants to break into the African market, what better show than getting Survivor? Promoted with Survivor. For Paramount Plus, if you're out there, if you're listening to this, I think a lot of people would watch it. And please make it globally available. It was in the US for a couple of weeks before they took it off, right, Tony? I feel like it was because Jeff felt the pressure. That's my opinion. That's my opinion.
This is good. Listen, I've been quite vocal about the fact that if I was a guy, I probably wouldn't have entered Survivor. I would have entered RuPaul's Drag Race. No, I'm joking. But I just love RuPaul's Drag Race. That's my other favorite reality show ever. And RuPaul was very smart because she's got her own, they started up their own channel called Wow TV Presents. And it's all drag-related shows. That is it. And I pay my 70 Rand a month to access this channel. Imagine there was a Survivor channel, purely Survivor channel. And then you could add any type of Survivor and you're paying your $5, you know, that would make a lot of money. Maybe we should look into making a little business model for this.
I feel like there's an option. There's something here where people would get into it. But I also know that you and I, obviously, we know a little bit about what goes on behind the scenes, but we don't know the inner workings of the licensing issues and all those kind of things.
The legalities of it. Even rather rub. I think that obviously it's owned by the bigger wigs. And they get the final say. So I think, end of the day, this show, this morning I just thought, let me just randomly check, you know, how long shows have been running for. And I mean, Days of Our Lives has like 57 seasons, you know, but in terms of reality shows.
I remember watching that as a kid growing up. Yeah. It's so, when you were forced to watch with whatever your mom watched on TV, you had to watch as well. You couldn't change the channel.
And then there was Loving on Open Time, and we all logged into that too. But now I was actually quite interested to see that the challenge has been going on longer than Survivor.
Yeah. And listen, this is the thing. I was just going to get into the challenge. Now, I don't know if you listened to any of what I said, but I know I converted Richard into a challenge fan. Like, he's watching it now.
But then you look at Survivor, who's also a very long-running show. Like, come on, there is a reason why there is 45 seasons of the show going out. And there is a reason why, even after 45 seasons, millions are tuning in and trying to find the illegal downloads and whatever else to watch it. It is because it is a show that has 100% longevity. There is something in the show that keeps people coming back. And that's why I really do believe in the brand and making sure that South Africa sees the same longevity that the US version has seen.
It should. And again, it comes down to humanity at its core. Like, as long as there are new people being born tomorrow, like, I mean, we've literally got people that are playing the game in the US now that were born after the show premiered, and they're entertaining to watch. They're I mean, who did we have? Carson, like, in the last season, how old was he? He was like 21 or something. He would have been a baby when the first season came out. And as long as there are new people being born, there's going to be interesting dynamics with new people being on the show, because it comes down to, what would you do for $1 million or for R1 million or whatever the currency is that you're playing for? And I'm such a believer, but I want to come back to the challenge, because I'm a massive fan of the challenge now. I only got into the challenge about 4 or 5 years ago, but they do, I feel like, so many things right where Survivor is failing. So Survivor is very much seen as an individual show, where South Africa is on its own island, Australia is on its own island, and then the US is on its own island. And I do think a lot of this comes down to the US being that they are the main show that are sort of carrying the franchise. They're almost trying to protect their turf. And that's why we didn't get to see Australian South Africa on Paramount Plus for very long. The challenge is the exact opposite. They're now building global brands. They're building the Australian version. They're building the UK version, the Argentinian version. Please do South Africa next challenge. You know, they're building these franchises and they're working collaboratively together and getting the best of the best to compete against each other. I feel like there should be a future there, Tony, where we could get to see you play against people on the other side, get Dino to play against it. Like Luke Toki tweeted out about this campaign to save Survivor. He wants to play against some of the Survivor South African players. Like the fans want to see it, Tony. There's a lot of longevity.
I mean, why can it not happen? Let's face it. If we can have rugby games against different countries, why can you not have Survivor? It is a game, ultimately. Like lots of viewers like that. It's only a game. Why are you getting so emotional? So if it is only a game, why can we not see it on an international platform? 100%. If sportsmen can do it, we should actually be viewing this as almost like watching a sport. It is.
Yeah.
Same thing. It's the same concept. There's a winner. There's prizes. There's challenges. So. Yeah, I think, but how? How do we push that narrative? How do we get, I mean, there's millions of viewers singing this tune, but who do we sing it to get it heard properly?
I think by continuing to have the conversation with players like yourself, I've had Luke on the channel before also talk about wanting to play an international version and continue to have the players themselves speak up and say, hey, I'm keen to jump on a season like that. I would love to go up against the best that there is in the US, the best that there is in Australia. We can continue to promote this. But for me, the more important thing is that if we start introducing these different characters to different different regions, like for instance, you get introduced as a player to the US region, then that opens the door for the US fans to go and watch Survivor South Africa and to continue. Like, I don't think that Jeff should feel threatened. And I can say this directly because I don't care. I don't feel like Jeff should be threatened by the fact that Survivor South Africa is becoming popular or Australian Survivor is becoming popular.
You should be very proud of that fact.
Yeah, because a lot of it, like Survivor South Africa to me is a love letter to Survivor US and what it used to be. And I feel like because he's trying to do his own thing, he feels like this is going to put pressure on him to let go of a lot of the quirky stuff that he's doing.
Rewind back to the beauty of the game, yes.
Yeah, and it's fine. He can do his own thing. But at the end of the day, I feel like fans out there will watch. Like, I watch all of it because I'm a super fan. I love watching South Africa. I love watching the US. I love watching Australia. And each one of them, to me, has got its own strengths and weaknesses that you can appreciate. And exactly. I feel like true fans will watch all of it. Like, he should look at it and say, how do we continue to build this brand? How do we – and this is the thing. And I don't know if you could talk to this or not, if you want to talk to it. I feel like you'd speak your mind regardless. But I feel like – you know, if Jeff was to leave the show down the line, like, well, who does he have? Who's the next person in line that's going to take over the show? Because I personally have this theory, and I've had it for a while, that he wants the show to retire with him. When he retires at season 50, he's like, I am Survivor. I'm going to retire. I'm going to retire the show. Yeah, which I don't want that to happen. So why can't we have Nico come in and become familiar to the crowd on that side? Jonathan LaPaglia coming in? Because one of those two could take over the main gig in the future. Like, you should be promoting young talent coming up, you know?
Mm. But even with them, there needs to be longevity with who they pass the flame onto, you know? I mean, if that is honestly Jeff's thought process, it's quite sad. It's like, very sorry, Jeff, I freaking love you, but like, that's super egotistical because
I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I hope you are. And look, there was – sometimes I go through these processes where I've got a very love-hate relationship with Jeff, but because loved him so much for 20 years, it's hard to let go of the love part as much, you know. But I do find that there's just been – like, there seems to be way too much interference now, and I think the role of producer and host and interfere – like, it should actually be so separate. I think that host should also be there blinded in a way, because that's the beauty of it for a host. I mean, if I was hosting something like Survivor, I would love to not know what's going on. I would love to be sitting there going, damn, even as a host, you know? But and I think he's taken away the joy for himself with the way he's interfering with it, which is a pity, because if he could now retire and sit back and not even be that involved, maybe he could love the game again, because he could sit down and watch a show with blind eyes and go, damn, this show is good, you know?
Yeah.
And I wonder if he's even watched South Africa, or if he's watched Australia and brought back that love for the game and gone, wow, these people are mad. Like, this is insane. I hope he's done that, because maybe he's just lost his passion for the actual nuance of what the game's about.
I mean, it's interesting. We could talk about Jeff for quite a while. I listened to some of the podcasts that he recently did. He still seems to have that passion in his voice, and he thinks that he's doing the right thing by the franchise. And I feel like that's all a good thing. But you've got to think about, how do I keep this franchise? You spoke about Days of Our Lives being on for so long, and you know, how does Survivor get to season 100, which I want to see. I want to see Survivor outlast Jeff. Like, I feel like the concept of Survivor is bigger than any individual that is either playing the game or hosting the game or producing the game. You want it to be something that's going to be there for many years. And I just feel like, yeah, building this thing by adding more franchises and backing it, I think will help the show in the long run. And for Paramount Plus, who currently are looking for more and more content because there's a writer's strike happening over in the US, reality TV, you could just be dipping into a pool of great content there with Survivor South Africa and put it out on Paramount Plus. And I think it would do extremely well. I want to track back a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about Tribemates. This is a new passion project that you've just started. You know, something that you had the opportunity to put into the works after having been on the show yourself. Talk a little bit about that. This is your opportunity to plug it. And I'll make sure to put links as well below for people if they want to check it out later on.
Yeah, so look, I mean, my 30th birthday party was a Survivor-themed party. And then 8 years, I actually got to play the game. So I've always been into this, like, let's organize people to do these kind of things, you know? Let's put people up against each other. And since I am in the facilitation field, I do training. I'm in the education field. And I'm often teaching communication, team building, conflict resolution.
Survivor Tony, people would be like, listen, Tony, conflict resolution? She seems like she's stoking the fires.
The thing is, the first step of conflict is you address it, okay? That's what I do.
So I've always
been in that space of teaching. So
yeah,
you know, I've always wanted to kind of get like a team building going on that sort of incorporates Survivor. And I'm just always so busy being busy with work. So I've got my own company, obviously, so I'm always running my stuff. And I just never got around to it. And then finally, one of my customers said, Tony, will you come in and do a one-day workshop with our guys for team building? Maybe you can talk about Survivor. And I thought, this is it. I need to push the button, do Tribemates now. And then we had a really, really fun experience for 3 to 4 hours where we played a little like iterations of Survivor for team building. And then I finally launched Tribemates. And I had a great thing a month ago with 30 players. And we just had the best day ever. And what's nice about what we do, because obviously voting out somebody is not a good team building exercise. So we don't vote people out. The difference with Tribemates is that we play these games and the winning tribe comes to tribal council and they discuss why they felt they won, what they did so well as a team. And then they vote for a soul survivor. Not a soul survivor. And they vote for who they felt really helped the team, whether it was just team spirit, whether it was just good communication. And that's how the tribals goes. We always have the winning tribe that comes and they discuss why they got there, how they got there. And then at the end of the whole day, we have soul survivors. And those are the people who contributed to the team. So it's super fun, you know? So I get to, get people to experience this game and just understand like all the different elements that go into it, you know. So it's, yeah, I just almost everything I touch, I just want to have some kind of a Survivor feel to it in a way, you know.
Yeah, so I mean that's a big movement there from you to continue to I guess give back to something that gave so much to you. Can you speak a little bit about how Survivor, you know, you mentioned you want other people to experience this. How has it changed your life? Because, you know, you came on first in season 6. It's a while ago now, and then you got the opportunity to go and play twice again. What was the experience like going through both of this, and what has that sort of done for you in your personal life?
You know, there's so many different layers to playing Survivor that you get to experience. So you know, it's heart, soul, body kind of thing. So you learn stuff about your own body, you know, about how much you can take and how much you can withstand. Then you learn about your soul and your spirits and your heart and your brain. And like, there's so many layers that we could be here forever discussing the lessons that you learn. But I think for me, like, it humbled me a lot. You know, I've always been quite a vinchat. For those who don't understand what that means, it's like a arrogant, cheeky little thing. Cheeky little thing, you know. Yeah. And I've still got that fire. That's never gone away. And I've always felt like I have always been a very empathetic person, too much so. I feel like I've always been a very people's person. But the problem is I am not pizza. Not everyone loves me. And I've learned that, you know. And I've learned... It took me a while to understand that that's also okay. that I don't have to be liked by everyone. And that was a very hard lesson to learn in terms of watching social media. Like my first season, when I got off of that first season, social media had some field days with me, and I really, it affected me terribly to the point that I, you know, like I'm going to be very open and frank here, to the point that I just became a terrible wife. I stepped a little bit outside of my marriage because I just didn't like myself because of the public's perception of me. And, you know, it really shook me quite a bit. Whereas there was so much love too. This is the place where I met all these amazing people like the Ruans who I you know, host with. This is the space where I met some of my best friends because they loved me so much, but I saw the hate. So my first season really shook me in terms of public perception of me and the way viewers are. Whereas my second season, I didn't give a, excuse the language, I didn't give an F, you know, because I was like, I knew who I was. I was like, hang on, you guys don't know me and I know who I am. The first one or two episodes, I was like, oh shit, the public's hectic again. And I thought, no, remember Tony, you don't care about that anymore. You know who you are. So there's that lesson that humbled me in terms of not everyone's going to like me and that's okay. And it's, oh my God, there's so much else that happened. Like after that first step.
I also want to say, just on that point, I don't want to interrupt, but I remember those first couple of episodes and you know, obviously I already started having like this online friendship with you because I had you on covering a season before that. I think we were covering either South Africa or we were covering one of the US seasons, but you know, having to gotten to know you personally, I was like, and I saw people and I was like, you guys don't know, Tony is awesome. Like, you know, this is an edited show. You're only seeing this little snippet, like, you know, so I was fighting for you in the corner, but I think that,
and that was great,
one of the other
things, people did, because so many people who know me, you know. Sorry, carry on.
Yeah, that's why you were one of the first people I felt comfortable enough to reach out to say, let's have a conversation about the Survivor South Africa thing, because I knew you'd say yes. I knew you'd be open for a conversation. And that's what I love about you. And, you know, seeing that, I was just thinking to myself again, this is why I hate it when people are in this space nowadays, not just in Survivor, but in life, that if you say one thing wrong, you know, because you dare to have an opinion, you're like canceled, you're out, like, just get over it. Like, I mean, do you really in life have friends and family that agree with you on everything? Like, I mean, I love my brother, but he says some stupid shit sometimes, you know? So like, I just don't get why people put people out.
Yes. But listen, this is also now goes back to why I'd love some people to play, because there are those armchair warriors who were, and I was that person. I watched Survivor and I was like, oh, I would not have done that. Oh, that was dumb. Oh my word, that girl needs to just relax. Why is she crying so much? I was that person. And then I got brought to my knees in this game. Brought to my knees, not even just the first time I played, the second time, a few times, you know. And I'd love for those people to also get to play, so that I can sit there and go, okay then, what were you saying? You know, what were you saying? Because those are some of the people I'd love to get to experience the game too. And I laugh, because when some of the people who have played my online game, they are the people who go, these people are getting so emotional on the show. And then they get so emotional on an online Facebook game. And I'm like, listen, guys, you see how you're getting now? Like, now, why are you judging the people on the TV? Because that is their reality. For the time that you are on that island, that is your reality. It is not a game, you know? And I think that's what a lot of people forget. So I'd love some of those people to get to play too. That's why, please, we can't stop the show, because there are these armchair warriors that I would love to see play. And they must come back and be humbled and go, wow, that was hectic, you know?
It's one of the reasons why I'm so, so grateful that I've not had the opportunity. Like, I went deep in the New Zealand Survivor casting process and nearly played in the first season. I didn't go all the way. And sadly, the show got cancelled. And now I'm actually, in some ways, I'm okay with not having played New Zealand, because I feel like I would have been not ready to play Survivor. And mentally, I would have been like the Nick Adanzia of that season. I would have wanted to strategize, do alliances. And the show wasn't ready for it. So I'd much rather play in a mature franchise like South Africa or Australian Survivor, where you don't have to explain to people what an alliance is or why you need to vote in blocks or things like that. People get it. But the biggest thing for me is, since I've done the podcast, I've come to the realization that it would be a lot harder than I can even envision. Because I speak to so many Survivor players on a consistent basis. I pick up little things and I learn little things, and I have more empathy for the edit. I have more empathy for people coming on the show and saying, it's so much harder than what you think. Because prior to that, I would have been similar to yourself. I would have gone into the show thinking that I would just be this mastermind doing extremely well if I go out there. Now I'm like, I think it would be extremely hard, but I still want to do it. And that's one of the reasons I'm fighting for it, because, you know, Survivor South Africa comes back. I've said it many a times. I love Survivor South Africa. I'd love to play Survivor South Africa, you know, but I want the show to come back for people like me and for a bunch of other people out there that haven't had the opportunity. And like you said, you're going to learn something about yourself. You're either going to learn that you are who you think you are, or most likely most of us have got a vision of ourselves that isn't fully accurate. And this is one of those few times in life where you get an opportunity to see through the lens of a camera how other people perceive you, and the things they say behind your back will probably hurt a lot more after watching it back. And you're like, I thought we were tight. How dare you say this about me? You know, so I get it. It's a lot more real.
So never mind what people say about you, because ultimately they are also playing the game and they are also dealing with their own insecurities. So you're like, okay, whatever. At the end of the day, that although you're cast as a certain character, and that's what I realized in my first season, is that the production looked at me and said, this girl is going to blow up. Then that is the parts we're going to show of her. Never mind that in my first season, a lot of the people called me Mama Bear because I was the comforter and I was the funny person. They did not show that. And you know what? I had to make peace with that because I know that exists in me. However, what I forgot exists in me is the parts that they did show. And I can blame the edit. You can't, though. You can't say, oh, that is the edit. Yes, it is the edit, but you did that. You were that. You said that. So as much as the edit hid away the other lack of things about you, they still showed you real things about you. So we can say what we want about the edit and blame the edit for exposing us as a horrible human being, but that horrible human being was there. They didn't they didn't get the script. They didn't piece together different things. Yes, they maybe omitted stuff that maybe helped soften that blow a little bit. But at the end of the day, that part exists in us. And I think that's what's really
Even knowing that about people, that they will show certain parts, like the person who shocked me the most, because, you know, I went to the live show after Survivor South Africa, Return of the Outcast. I was there and I met yourself and your partner as well. And Pinty, what an absolute pleasant person in real life to meet. And on the show, I was like, I don't know if I could get along with Pinty. She seems like too much trouble. But then you meet her in person and you're like, she's the loveliest person.
But listen, I love it to bits too, but it wasn't the editor. She was literally like that most of the times.
I get it. Yeah, maybe that's a competitive side of her that comes out and she's like different.
I think it's a few things. I think it's just the pressure cooker. It's the competitiveness in her, and also hunger. Pinty is really not good being hungry. Like she, like I think that really, that is, and there we go. There's your fatal flaw. Like she gets to see them go, damn it, I didn't show my best off. There were little moments of Pantiness that was so cool because I also love Panty. I met Panty before her very first season on Table Mountain accidentally. And she was going through the casting process. And she actually saw me. She said, you're Tony from Survivor. And I was just coming through my divorce. My husband had literally just left me like 3 weeks prior. I was broken. And she looked at me, she said, you're Tony from Survivor. And I was like, yes. And I had a hoodie on. I was like, hidden. It was cold. And I was like, yeah. And she gave me a hug. And we spoke about nothing in particular, but there was something that happened in that moment that just made me feel good. And I hadn't felt good for a while. There was something that she did that just made me feel seen. And then I said to her, you should really enter Survivor. And then she said, and I went, oh, and then I knew because the casting process was busy happening and I had this feeling. And then when they showed the show and they showed the cast, I was like, there's that chick from Table Mountain. So how bizarre is that? So I know this beautiful human being, but on the island, she was like quite hectic. And again, it showed the hecticness on the telly. So it gives her an opportunity to watch it and go, shit, I'm not good at that food. I need to figure this out, you know, or I didn't put my best foot forward. And that's the end of the day, what it's all about is, hopefully people who get to play don't just blame the edit, because the edit is still showing you something that you did and you still need to accept that part of you and love it or hate it or change it or accept it or whatever.
And at the end of the day, there is a story that needs to be told. Someone's going to win the season by the end of the season. So maybe you did make a very good strategic decision somewhere. And it didn't get shown, but you're not going to win the season ideally. So it's not a part of the story that the, you know, it wouldn't make sense to show that. But I do think personally, you know what, you know what's funny? The reason, like if I could choose, I probably shouldn't say it because I'm in Australia now. And if Survivor South Africa doesn't come back, who knows? I might throw my hat in the ring for Australian Survivor. But the reason I like Survivor South Africa more than Australian Survivor is because Australian Survivor focuses on about four people in the cast and they only show the four people's story. And then the rest are all, like side characters, that doesn't matter. Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, okay, I could go out and play Australian Survivor and have a really good game, but none of it's going to get shown if I don't win. Where in Survivor South Africa, I actually feel like they do a pretty good job at telling the story, telling the strategy, showing you when someone is going to get blindsided. So we're in on it by the time that it happens. It's kind of flipped on its head. And I think for me as a potential player in the future that would love to play the game, I'd much rather play on a show where I know that I wouldn't get absolutely, you know, put to the side. They'll show the good and the bad, but they'll at least, if I'm going to go down in flames, that's going to get shown. I'm not going to be, not going to be purpled throughout the whole thing.
There's nothing worse than being purpled, I'm sure. Like, I feel, because like if you watch back and you still at least see yourself, you're like, well, at least I saw myself. But imagine watching and you like spent all this time and effort and everything out there, and you're like, where am I? There was one person that was slightly purpled in my first season, Fusi. But you know,
he seems like a lovely guy. I actually had like a very quick encounter with him on social media a while ago. He seems like a really, really nice guy and someone that I'd love to bring into a podcast one day as well. And have a chat with him because it seems really lovable. But like you said, he was kind of like the, he was the side character to Palesa.
But I mean, I think there was reasons behind it and, I'm not going to,
and it was their first season. It was their first season. I feel like they only, like the production team with Afrikaans has just gotten, like this is the thing why it's such a shame with this franchise, because I feel like every season they've given us a more polished product from the previous season. You know, it continues to get, and even the last fully new season cast that they had, which was Immunity Island, that's my favorite season. I love Immunity Island because of the characters that played that season. Like, I mean, how could you get so many brilliant characters together in one season? It shows that they can be trusted to bring a great new cast onto Survivor South Africa, and it will be entertaining. Now, we had a very quick chat about this, Tony, between all of us podcasters, and we said, like, if the show comes back, how much pressure do you think LaRue and them are under to make it an all-star season coming back if they were to come back, finally get another green light on a streaming service versus just saying, no, we're going to continue to stick to the format of bringing new people in because we've just had an all-star season.
Look, for me, I think bringing another all-star back-to-back would, I wouldn't do it. However, I know that there's a lot of public that are, there's certain characters that they didn't get to see that they were really hoping to see on Outcast, you know? So perhaps they might bring it in and say, listen, we're bringing back your favorites this time, not just those Outcast weirdos. We're bringing back your actual favorites just to get this going. But I don't know, I think it would be remiss. I think having a whole application process, Survivor opening applications now, is part of the marketing strategy. You know, because people are like, oh, shit, people must enter. And people are, oh, my cousin entered. Oh, my brother entered. I think it builds that
word of mouth.
Hey? Yeah, the word,
like
of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Now you suddenly know, oh, I wasn't really watching Survivor, but my cousin's entered. Oh, I'm going to have to. And I think that's part of the marketing strategy. And that's kind of what happened with us also in 2018. Like, suddenly we were seeing these adverts, Survivor open for applications. Survivor's coming back. And everyone's like, oh, I've got to get in on this, you know. I have no idea what this is all about. So I would think a newbie season would be more exciting because of the build-up of having to advertise that applications are open. People scrounging around trying to figure out who's entered. Oh, and watching YouTube entry videos and saying, "I bet you that one's going to be cast." I bet you, you know, it just creates a little bit of excitement. So I would think for the first season, maybe if they want to bring favorites back, then rather do a fans versus favorites or blood versus water.
Think that there's enough people who were left out with doing, and I love the theme. I think that this is a theme that they should do in some of the other franchises as well, with pre-mergers versus post-mergers. The only problem with Australia is they're bringing too many of their good pre-mergers back already. So maybe the US have got more to choose from.
And then they were pre-mergers, now they are post-mergers. And now that, they
look at Mark Wales and Sam, you know, coming back and doing extremely well. They could have been two great, you know, happy for Mark, he got to win. He's a great guy, by the way, as well. You know, a big fan of this podcast. But, you know, they're already sort of dipping into that pool quite a lot. But I feel like with South Africa, there is so many players now that they didn't bring back. They could bring back a Werner, they could bring back a Jacques Berger. Nicole Kappa, Santoni. Yeah, there's heaps of people. Yeah, so I think that I was a big Inesu fan. I think Inesu could come back, do well. So yeah, there's people that they could bring easily back into like a favorite season versus fans. And you know, I'm not the biggest fan of a fans versus favorite season. I always feel like it's lopsided.
I am, but only as a player, because
yes, like, I get it as a player.
Yeah, I sometimes wish I hadn't said yes to Return of the Outcast and hope that they still keep me on the back burner for another season, because I always wanted to come back and do a fans versus favorite because of the fact that I love new players. I love this game so much that I almost would be like, sorry, favorites, I'm not with you guys. I'm with the fans and I'm going to help them do well in this thing. And then they're probably going to blindside me, and that's okay because the newbies, yay, they're getting to play. Like, I have this stupid love for newbies playing, even when we're doing our online Survivor. Like, whenever we got people who've played already, and then we get the newbies, I'm like, come on, newbie, you can do this. Please win, please win. And I get this absolute passion for the newbies. So I think I would have loved to have done fans versus favorites and just watch some people navigate the game. I would have loved to have done that.
I think that would have been a lot of fun to see you play. I think the reason I don't like the fans versus favorites theme is because I always feel like the favorites are at such a disadvantage going up against people who've played the game before. And then I've always said my worst fear would be to be casted. Let who don't listen to this part will, you know, my worst fear would be to be on a fans versus favorites season. Like, you know, being like a fan going up against, like, it would be tough. It would be really tough.
Because you have to write these people down who you've like sort of idolized in a way.
100%. Like, I mean, I've
got a great idea for a Survivor season, but I don't even want to say it yet, because if Jeff or anyone gets wind of it and they copy it, I'm going to be pissed. Or maybe I should say it here. So if
DM Leroux.
Hey?
DM Leroux. Get
well, I'll say it here. So if they ever do it, I'll be like, here is the podcast. That was my idea. I want in on the action. But I think that, okay, Survivor Inception. Picture this. They run two seasons at the same time. So you've got your tribe of 18, your tribe of 18, their tribes, da, 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 and then you're just running these two things. Then when you get to merge, you just say to him, okay, guys, you have merged. And they're like, yay, yippee, yippee, yippee. And they get into their little camps and they think they're fine. And this one gets into their camps and they think they're fine. Then Nico's standing there and he's like, come on in, guys. And they come in thinking this is their first merge challenge. And he goes, come on in, guys. And the next tribe comes in and he goes, right, here we go again. And there's a whole two new tribes starting all over again.
I think it would be brutal. And imagine if they did that for like a season where there is an Inception / Clash of the Worlds where US has got a season going on, Australia's got a season going on, and then they all come together at the merge to be like, by the way, you didn't realize, you thought you were here for 38 days, you're now here for 90 days.
We're starting again. But what I think would be beautiful about that, because as soon as you merge, you all sit there for a day saying, oh, we need to get rid of this one because he's strong, and we need to get that one because they're strong. Now suddenly you're like, oh, shit, keep the strong ones, keep the strong ones. Now suddenly you cut yourself because you're like, I was literally planning to vote out this person because they're the strongest, but now we're still playing as a tribe. Oh, damn, now let's get rid of the weak ones again. And then they start this whole process again of like...
It's kind of like what happened with Steffi. I mean, in that position where they were like, we don't want Steffi to stay because she's going to win some individual immunities. If she stays any longer, we got to cut her. And she had so many good relationships with different people in the game. So yeah, it's a very interesting concept. I quite like that. Listening to you talk, it sounds like the fire within you has not fully been extinguished when it comes to Survivor. You've got a lot of passion. So, you know, I've got the feeling that if you had the opportunity to go back and play again, you'd probably say yes, depending on where you are at life. Yeah. Who'd be the you know, if you could choose from the seasons that you've played in, you could choose one other guy and female to come with you into an all-star War of the World season. Who do you have coming into battle with you when you take on the best of Australia and South Africa, the US?
You know, I'm so pissed that I just never get to play with Seamus. So Seamus and I, you know, believe it or not, like, we were in the first season, our first season together. We were never in a tribe together, but we became such good friends because once I watched that and saw it, I messaged him. Like, that's who I am. Like, I think I've got so many friends from the castaways, you know? So I messaged him and we just became like brother and sister. So when we got to Outcast, I did not know that he was going to be cast, but I had a feeling. And when I looked in, I was like, yes, he's there. We were winking at each other the whole time. I'm like, I'm finally going to get to play with Seamus.
Can I stop you there for a second? When did you know the theme? When did you know that it was going to be post-merge versus pre-merge?
On the mat.
Right. Wow. Yeah. So that's crazy that you even had
idea. Some of us, the penny didn't drop for some because we were looking like, I wonder how these tribes got thingy. I was like, hold up. I had an inkling, and then Tevin said something about merge versus post-merge. And I was like, oh, damn, that's what's happening here. So a lot of us actually still didn't kind of click until Nico said the words. So yeah, that was pretty cool. But so Seamus, I would love to play with Seamus. I don't know what it is about him, but I just love the boy to bits. So I want to just get an opportunity to play with them. And then funny enough, and this might surprise you, but the other person that I want to play with and I never got to play with also is Tanya.
Right. Yeah. Listen, it would be, both of them would be entertaining. You know, it actually broke my heart when I did the exit interview with Seamus that season that he left early, because he said he came to the realization that he is a better fan than a player. He should stay a fan, not be a player. And that kind of felt like he was so broken. I was like, no, because
he was terribly broken by being a person. The other person that I've never been on a show with or a season with, who I would also love to play with, and I really had hoped that he would get a second chance, is Jason Brookstein. So the last from season 8, the first.
Love Jason. Yeah,
I love Jason. So Jason and I are actually really, really good friends, because in my season, he reached out to me saying that him and his wife love me, la, la, la. And we just became besties. I mean, he came to Mozambique for my 40th. Mm. So, you know, we are really, but friendship aside, he, to me, just, I thought he was going to be like the Aussie, you know, like that guy is like Monkey Man. He climbs trees, he fishes, he is the most outdoorsy adventure seeker that I know. Like, I just really imagined that he was going to do so well when I'd heard that he had been cast, because he obviously confided in me and told me. I really imagined him going so far, because he is fun. He is funny. He is so easy to talk to. He is caring. He's empathetic. And he is just this really strong physical individual. And the outdoors life is his thing. So when he got first boot, I was broken for him. So I would love to see him play again. And I would love to play with him. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's interesting. If you watch or go and check out his Instagram page, you'll get exactly why Tony says this. And, you know, having a chat with him as well in his exit interview for Immunity Island, very fortunate to be able to do that, I could immediately pick up that he just had so much energy. He was just bouncing off the walls, like having a conversation. Mm. And I really felt like we as an audience missed out that, you know, he could have been a big character that season, and he just went up.
And his entertainment, that boy is so entertaining. He is so funny. He can sing. He's just got so much to give, and I would just love to see him get an opportunity to really show himself as the survivor castaway that I truly believe that he is. But there's so many. Yeah. I could sit and list so many people that I'd love to play with again. And, you know, but when you just asked me, my knee jerk was a Seamus, a Jason, and a Tanya, because I relate a lot to Tanya. And yeah, I just really do. I just think she's fantastic.
Tanya's a big, big fan, a big supporter of this channel as well. I love Tanya as well. She's awesome, you know. So I can endorse all of those decisions. But let's sort of leave it with this, Tony. What hope is there out there for people who are a big fan of Survivor South Africa? Is there anything that fans can do? I personally have created this petition to try and put it out there. Please, South Africans, get onto this thing and also go and sign this. Don't let the Australians show us up on this petition. And, you know, like, this is a South African survivor. We need to get it back. But what else? What can you leave us with? Is there any hope out there? You know, you know the people behind the scenes more than anyone else, Leroux, everybody at Afrikaans that are working really hard. Can you leave us with some hope here?
I 100% don't believe that Leroux is going to let this rest. Like, there is, I just don't see it happening. So, for anybody who wants to play, anybody who's just, you know, play some online games for now, you know, get it out of your system. But please don't give up hope. Please sign the petitions. Please actively support the other iterations of Survivor, like the US and the Australia, to get that, to keep the longevity going with those shows, because that will show South Africa that there is something in this. The problem is, Chris, I think it's also budget. So I don't know how we get across that hurdle, because, as you know, like, South African rand is, you know, struggling. So maybe the voices need to be loud enough, because maybe we need CBS to be like, come on, if we need to buy the rights or whatever, just give us a discount, you know, give us a friend's discount or family discount, because we want the show to continue. But obviously our currency isn't allowing for it, and it's an expensive show to host. And, you know, maybe, I don't know, if there's sponsors that are listening to this, if there are people who are working for major companies who could possibly sponsor something like this, speak up, talk, because maybe a great brand and good sponsors could actually just back the show, because there is longevity in it. You can see it by the fact that it's been 45 seasons in the US. If you can back the show, you're going to just be around for a long time also.
So yeah, it's a very passionate and strong fan base out there that would support this show. Again, if we can make it something that's more accessible, like we spoke about earlier on, where it's maybe on a platform that costs a fraction of cable TV. And also if we can just appreciate that cable TV is dying. It is a dying breed, especially under the younger generation. So I think a streaming platform would be the place for it to ultimately end up on. And Paramount Plus, if you're listening to this, you know, get on top of this. If you want to break into the African market, which is ginormous, mm-hmm. there's so many people in Africa. You know, and I always hear Africa is one of the emerging markets when it comes to the world. If you want to get into that market for the longevity, I'd say get into this and get in touch with Afrokans to also bring the challenge to South Africa or Africa. I want to see that. I really want to see that. And I think we've got some great players like your Chappies and, you know, your Opentelis and the likes of them, like good challenge beasts that can go on 100%. There and potentially do well.
And I think that's the other thing about South Africa. Look, I'm not saying that Australia and USA aren't a diverse country, but continents. But South Africa, like these kind of shows, we are so diverse. And I think that's what makes us really interesting. Yeah, the US players are all kind of, there's a few strings of like consistency between them. And we've seen some really interesting characters coming out of there. But I think what's beautiful about South Africa is the cultural diversity. So imagine having that kind of cultural diversity in these shows. You just get to introduce the world to just this amalgamation of people, you know.
And it's more than skin deep. It's more than skin deep with South Africa, because it's not just having black and white and South Africa. You've got all difference. You've got Indians. Like, I mean, we had Karan, who was like a great player as well. So, you know, we get people from all walks that can play this game. But not just that. It's also all these different languages that are being spoken. So that's beautiful in itself.
We have got, because of these different cultures, you've got such different upbringings that are going on here. You know, like it's just so interesting. And that's what I love about South Africa is, and playing Survivor, is just learning about all these different people and different cultures. And, oh, is that how you were brought up? Oh, is that what your granny does? Oh, that's so interesting. And I think that's what makes us, it's like you said, it's not the skin color only, but it's just the cultural differences and just value systems and stuff that you just get to learn so much about when you have a show like Survivor in South Africa.
No, 100%. Where can people find more about Tribemates or anything else that you're working on? Is there a website they can go to that they can get involved with?
Yeah, so my work website is www.giraffe.com, but it's giraffe, J-E-R-A-F-E. Anyway, I'm obsessed with giraffes, but that's so giraffe.com has got it, but it's also, I've got a Facebook page called Tribemates.
Whoops, we may have lost Tony, because I know that there is such a thing as load shedding in South Africa, which is also unique to South Africa, where people lose their power at certain times. So we just got 47 minutes in the clock. If you like this type of content, if this is something that you would like to see more of in the future, please consider subscribing to the channel. I'm more than happy to bring more previous Survivor South Africa players onto the channel and to have further conversations in regards to Survivor South Africa, a little bit about their experience and why this franchise is so important to get back on our screens. But for now, please put a like on this, subscribe, hit a notification bell so you can be informed the next time we go live with something like this. Talk to you next time. Bye.